On today's show, takeaways from the Houston Rockets' back-to-back slate of games over the weekend. The come-from-behind win against the Phoenix Suns, where Jalen Green had an explosive 20-point third quarter, and Kevin Porter Jr. and Bruno Fernando brought the game home in the fourth and final frame. Then some not-so-hot takeaways from the Rockets' loss the following night against the Golden State Warriors in the Bay Area. All that and more coming up right here at Locked On Rockets.
This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
The Houston Rockets select Jalen Green and Jabari Smith Jr.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
Every time I step on that floor, I'm coming.
You getting somebody who's going to come in with a chip on their shoulder, somebody who's going to come in and compete from day one.
Six, five, four, three, two, one.
What's up and welcome to another edition of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast, home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and credentialed media member. I'm also the host of Locked On NBA Mondays, host of the State of the Rockets podcast, as well as Rockets Watch. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin and the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets, free and available wherever you get your podcasts, including YouTube, where you can help the show out tremendously by commenting whatever you want below the page, below the episode. Now, for today's episode, we're going to talk about the Rockets' back-to-back slate of games over the weekend, the come-from-behind win against the Phoenix Suns, as well as the disappointing loss on the second night of a back-to-back against the Golden State Warriors. Now, let's start with the Suns' side of things, which, based on how that first half looked, a smart man would not have put money on the Rockets to win that game. Rockets looked like they had zero business being down only 7 points at halftime against the Phoenix Suns. First off, the only reason that they were even remotely in the game, couple reasons after the first half. First off, Alperen Şengün and Jabari Smith Jr. both had strong first halves for the Rockets against the Phoenix Suns. Alpi had 13 points on 5 of 6 shooting. Jabari Smith Jr. had 10 points on 4 of 5 shooting. Those two guys were kind of keeping the Rockets in the flow of things in that first half, but Kevin Porter Jr. struggled, 1 of 4 shooting, 4 turnovers, ugly first half from Kevin Porter Jr. Jalen Green, 2 of 12 shooting to only 9 points. It was an awful game from the Rockets' backcourt. In addition to Alpi and Jabari kind of holding things down for the Rockets also got gift-wrapped 25 first-half free throws by the Phoenix Suns. They hit 18 of them. The Suns had 6 free throws in the first half. They hit all 6 of them, but Devin Booker had 20 points in the first half. Mikal Bridges had 15 points in the first half. The Rockets were giving up wide-open threes left, right, and center in this game. Their perimeter defense was all over the place, and yet they found themselves down just 7 at halftime. Jalen Green was pissed going back to the locker room. And what we saw in that third quarter was so encouraging from Jalen Green. And over the course of the rest of the game, but very specifically in that third quarter, we saw like alpha mentality Jalen Green. Because when he was going back to the locker room, he was pissed. He was mad. He was like muttering to himself, like untucked jersey. He looked visibly frustrated. Comes out in the second half, and the Rockets are running everything through Jalen Green. He's bringing the ball up. He's initiating the offense. He's getting downhill. He's getting to the free throw line. All of it is going through Jalen. After like multiple possessions in a row of Jalen scoring the rock, getting things done offensively, all of it, right? He's on his way to a huge quarter, a career best 20-point third quarter. And Kevin Porter Jr. has a possession where he takes things into his own hands, forces up a really bad, ill-advised three-pointer, and he gets yanked immediately after that. Like, and maybe it was because Steven Silas was planning to stagger those two in the second half anyways, because KPJ came out maybe about a minute before Deshaunix would have normally checked in under the, you know, the usual stagger guidelines, whatever. But based on how things looked and the way that they were being intentional about running everything through Jalen and the touches that he was getting there in that third quarter, I would like to believe that Steven Silas was sending a message to Kevin Porter Jr. And we're going to talk about how KPJ responded to that message at the top of the fourth quarter here in just a second. But for Jalen to continue on that tear and to basically put the Rockets on his back offensively there in the third quarter, the Rockets didn't get back into the game per se in that third quarter. Jalen kind of just kept the scoreboard moving, which is, you know, better than they were doing in the first half, I guess. I mean, the Rockets go into halftime, they were down 7. They went in, you know, by the end of the third quarter, they were down 10. But Jalen had 20 of the 29 third quarter points for the Rockets. They were just really struggling to get stops against Phoenix. I mean, Devin Booker was on fire in this game. He finished the night with 41 points on 15 of 25 shooting. Like, Devin Booker, the Rockets could not contain him. They couldn't stop him. And it came down to a final possession, right, where the Denver Nuggets had a couple chances to win this game. Mikal Bridges, 22 points. Cam Payne was cooking the Rockets for 20 points on 8 of 12 shooting. Like, all, like, the entire Suns, like, backcourt, wing brigade, whatever you want to call it, perimeter, you know, team, Booker, Payne, Bridges, they were on fire in this game against the Rockets because the Rockets' perimeter defense was really bad. But for Jalen to have that third quarter where he explodes offensively, but he also started locking in defensively. He had possessions where he really took it upon himself to slow down, to really start fighting over screens, to play with some intensity defensively. And then that carried over, that spilled over into the fourth and final quarter of this game as well. That is really encouraging to see from Jalen Green. But what he needs to have happen, right, and the loss against the Golden State Warriors is a prime example of this. Jalen Green needs to have a way to tap into this energy, that ability to play with some FU in his game, to get going downhill and to really unlock himself like that offensively. He needs to be able to do that without having somebody like piss him off, or, you know, because he and Booker were, you know, jawing back and forth all game. They had words for each other, all of that. It seems like Jalen kind of like taps into this, like, you know, I don't know, different persona, whatever, when he's going back and forth with somebody. Whereas when he's like, when things are good, when nobody's jawing at him, he's just, he's less aggressive. He's not as into the game. The intensity's not there. He needs to find a way to be able to unlock that on a permanent basis rather than it being something that comes and goes sporadically. Because if he can tap into that mentality 24/7, if he can have that mentality from the moment that he laces him up and steps on the court to when the final buzzer sounds, he's going to be unstoppable as an NBA player. He's basically already unstoppable as an offensive force when he decides he's going to get going downhill. He's got the lightning quick first step, the explosiveness, all that. When the shot's falling, it makes it incredibly hard to contain him. But the way that he played in that third quarter is the way that he needs to find a way to be able to play like that, at least from an emotional perspective, all the time. He wound up not finishing the game very strong because in the fourth quarter, he only had 1 point, although he did D up Devin Booker for the final possession of the game, took it upon himself to force Devin Booker into a very, very tough shot in the final moments of this game, of this win against the Phoenix Suns. But all in all, impressed by the response from Jalen Green in the second half, right? Like anybody else, 2 of 12 shooting the first half, turnovers, struggling to shoot the ball, right? He could have hung his head and come back out, you know, come out in the third quarter and, you know, gone through the motions, whatever. He didn't. He responded in a very big way, and that's an encouraging sign for Houston's budding superstar. With that, I do want to talk about KPJ and Bruno Fernando bringing this game home in the fourth quarter against the Phoenix Suns. We're going to talk about that, but first, today's episode is brought to you by Turo. Turo is the world's largest car sharing marketplace. With Turo, you can book any car you want, wherever you want it, from a community of local hosts. Browse a huge selection of vehicles for just about any occasion or budget across the US, UK, Canada, and Australia. You can book a spacious SUV or minivan for a family road trip. Maybe get a classic or luxury car for a special event, birthday, or even holidays. Find an affordable economy car if you're on a budget and you just have to get from point A to point B. You can even test drive that brand new electric car that you've had your eye on to see how it fits your everyday life. Many Turo hosts can even deliver the car right to your doorstep. Every trip is backed by liability insurance. Terms, conditions, and exclusions do apply. Forget boring rental cars and find your drive at Turo.com. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast, home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Now, Jalen Green was your Locked On Rockets player of the game from the Phoenix Suns dub in the desert. Had that huge 20-point third quarter. Now, the way that the Rockets brought this game home in the fourth quarter was on the backs of Bruno Fernando and Kevin Porter Jr. So as I mentioned before, KPJ got yoinked, right? Midway through the third quarter. And I'm going to choose to believe that that's exactly what happened because I was encouraged by that and assuming that was Steven Silas making a point, right? Holding KPJ accountable. That's something we've wanted to see for a long time from Silas. So I'm going to choose to believe that that's what happened. And KPJ responded well in the fourth quarter, right? Just like Jalen Green could have come out 2 of 12 shooting at halftime, could have come out in the third quarter, mailed it in, continued to be frustrated, whatever, settling for shots. Didn't do that. He responded well. KPJ, I think, responded well at the top of the fourth quarter to getting benched for Dacian Nix. KPJ had a monster fourth quarter, had 10 points, had 5 dimes, only a couple turnovers, 3 boards, 2 of 3 shooting, 5 of 5 at the charity stripe, 10 points in that final frame to help lead the Rockets to the win. He also repeatedly set up Bruno Fernando, who started the quarter as well, had 10 points, 5 boards in his 8 minutes of run, was 5 of 6 shooting from the floor in his 7 minutes and 55 seconds, whatever, on the court in that fourth quarter. And the chemistry between Kevin Porter Jr. and Bruno Fernando is through the roof. Those two guys play so well off of one another. Bruno has talked about understanding screening angles and how to really like unlock things and get KPJ going downhill. KPJ has talked about having that lob threat, having that kind of release valve. And I do think that KPJ, it's easier for KPJ to play off of Bruno Fernando because Bruno is kind of one-dimensional as an offensive player, right? There is one thing that Bruno Fernando is doing, right? And it's setting a screen and running to the rim, or if he's not setting the screen, he's just waiting in the dunker spot, right? There's only two things that Bruno does. LP is a guy that is quite a bit more diverse in what he can do offensively, whether it's screening, then rescreening, or catching the ball in the short roll and creating, or looking to post up and, you know, or setting flare screens out on the perimeter for other guys. Like, there's so many little things that LP can do offensively. And I think that's where some of the breakdowns in communication happen between LP and KPJ versus KPJ and Bruno. When Bruno screens for KPJ, Bruno knows that his goal is to screen for KPJ and then immediately dive towards the rim hard as hell. And that's it. And not only that, for KPJ, it's probably a bit easier to make that pass to Bruno over the top rather than having to make that shovel pass or that bounce pass to LP on the roll through traffic, through passing lanes, through, you know, outstretched hands and arms, whatever, trying to deflect the ball, all of that. For Bruno, it's as simple as just, all right, boom, screen is set. I'm, you know, KPJ's going downhill. As soon as the defensive big commit, you know, overcommits to KPJ, KPJ lofts it over the top and it's an easy 2 for Bruno. And we saw that happen again and again and again in that fourth quarter in the win against the Suns. Whereas when KPJ is running the pick and roll with Şengün, unfortunately, there's, again, Şengün is, a different player than Bruno, has a wider arsenal of what he can do offensively. And so that leads to some miscommunication, right? Where we see moments where KPJ's, you know, snaking through and LP like moves off to the side or doesn't like dive straight to the rim. Like he kind of, you know, floats towards the middle of the floor, or there's moments where they screen and the defense will switch. And then LP like goes and he's like calling for the post up on a smaller defender, and KPJ either fails to deliver him the ball or delivers the ball late, or he does get the pass and then LP's working on the post up and then KPJ's backed out to the perimeter. Like there's just, I feel like the simplicity of the Bruno Fernando at the five spot approach for KPJ works out well for him because it eliminates all these other possibilities within the offense. It basically becomes, all right, Kevin, you're going to do your thing. You're going to get downhill. You're going to either get a bucket for yourself, finish a tough shot at the rim, pull up, you know, step back, mid-range, whatever, hezzy tween, all of that. You're doing that, or you're getting Bruno the ball on the roll and he's going to finish at the rim. Those are the two very simplistic outcomes when you're running a pick and roll with KPJ and Bruno versus KPJ and Şengün. So the Rockets were able to tap into that and they were able to come away with the win. The closing moments were really stressful because the Rockets had a semi-comfortable, like 2-possession lead to close things out. And then the Phoenix Suns managed to claw their way back into it. And they were right there at the very, very end. Credit to Jalen Green for honing in on Devin Booker on the final possession of this game. However, after forcing Devin Booker to miss the final shot, Jalen Green was, it looked like he leaked out like for an outlet pass or something, I guess, and just expected the Rockets to get the rebound, and they fought and scrapped for the rebound. And I mean, Jalen is very lucky that that rebound did not get kicked out to somebody on the perimeter that he should have been covering or that he should have been in the picture to defend. And had the Suns sunk that shot, that, I mean, the fact that Jalen Green literally was not even on the screen during the final defensive possession after locking up Devin Booker, the defense on Booker was fantastic. The leak out was inexcusable. That was bad, bad, bad. So it was a great win for the Rockets. I'm glad they picked up the win. There's a lot to learn from it because that first half was not pretty. And even the second half had its ups and downs, but they were able to lock in that fourth quarter. They were able to start slowing the Suns down defensively a little bit more. Their energy was great. The impact of the guys off the bench, the goon squad, KJ, Tari, especially 2/3 of the goon squad because Garuba didn't get a ton of run in this game. It was great to see. And this was another, you know, a win that didn't expect the Rockets to get, especially based on how they started this game. But you give them credit, right? They didn't hang their heads. They stuck with it, and they responded really, really well there in the second half, both in the third quarter, Jalen Green, as well as in the fourth quarter, KPJ and Bruno Fernando. So I do want to highlight some of the, negative from some of the negatives, I should say, from the Golden State Warriors game, as well as to kind of propose a way for the Rockets to get the most out of Jalen Green, Alperen Şengün, Kevin Porter Jr., and Bruno Fernando. We're going to get there, but first, today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all of your sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there, from football to basketball to soccer, even esports. They've got you covered for everything over at BetOnline.net. In fact, right now, you can take a look at who the odds-on favorite is to go number one, numero uno overall in this year's NBA draft. Spoiler alert, it's still Victor Wembanyama at minus 1,000. However, here's the curious thing. The next highest, the next best odds man to go number one overall is not Scoot Henderson. It's the other ranking at plus 825. So there's a better chance for somebody not named Scoot Henderson to go number one overall in Victor Wembanyama's place. And then right now, Scoot Henderson bringing up the rear at plus 1,000. So for all those odds and more, be sure to visit betonline.net to learn more about the trends and action available to you. BetOnline, it's where the game starts. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast, home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Now, I think one of the negative things to come out of the, I'll say one of the positives from, there were some negatives and positives, but from the Rockets Warriors game, and then I'll get into my big kind of suggestion takeaway here in a moment, but Tari Eason off the Rockets bench, 13 and 10, 6 of 10 shooting, made some really difficult layups, had a couple that he smoked still, but a really strong game off the Rockets bench against the Golden State Warriors. One of the few really kind of bright spots for the Houston Rockets against the Warriors in that 120-101 loss. Now, what I will say is Alperen Şengün was good against the Phoenix Suns, right? And then wound up only playing the final 4 minutes because the Rockets, were on a run in a big way in the fourth quarter. And so they were riding the hot hand with Bruno, KPJ. That's fine. I get that. But Alpi was also the only guy that was able to get anything going offensively against the Warriors in the early going of this game. He had the Rockets' first 6 points when nobody else could hit anything. And yet the Rockets seemingly never make Alpi the focal point when he's the only guy who has it going, right? Alpi finished this game with just 20 minutes played. Had 12 points, had 4 boards, had an assist. He was 6 of 9 shooting from the floor. The efficiency is there, and the Rockets don't have anybody on the team other than Alpi who has reliable, consistent offense. That's just a fact. Jalen Green doesn't have reliable and consistent offense. Kevin Porter Jr. doesn't have reliable and consistent offense. Neither of them have like a go-to move. Neither of them are capable enough to, when it comes to just get the ball to them, spread the floor out and let them go to work. And then you're going to reliably be able to generate offense that way. It just doesn't happen, right? Jalen Green's not consistent enough getting to the free throw line. KPJ's efficiency is not good enough to rely on him consistently doing that. Alpi is the one like consistent offensive force that the Rockets have, where you could dump the ball down in the post to Alpi and his efficiency's through the roof. So, and yet they didn't go back to that. They didn't continue to like change the game plan and say, you know what? Jalen can't get it going tonight. KPJ's struggling tonight. 6 of 16 from the floor for KPJ. 6 of 19 for Jalen. Both of them are struggling. You know what? Let's just run everything through Alpi since the Warriors, seemingly can't contain him since Kevon Looney can't guard him in single coverage, whatever. And yet they didn't do that. And Alpi also finished with just 20 minutes played. Like I don't know what it is. They don't like capitalizing on Alperen Şengün's offensive strengths. It's weird. And here's my, I will say Josh Christopher was a breath of fresh air in this game as well. The Rockets perimeter defense continued to be really bad in this game. I mean, they gave up a ton of wide open shots to Jordan Poole, to Steph Curry, Andrew Wiggins, who turned into, I don't know, a Steph Curry clone, went 8 of 10 from 3-point land, tying his career high for made 3-pointers. The Warriors went off on the Rockets in this game. And the reason the Rockets were able to kind of make a bit of a push, a bit of a run there late in the game was because Dacian Nix and Josh Christopher were actually playing defense like they kind of cared, like they were really trying defensively, and Josh Christopher especially was trying on the defensive end, kind of making his, you know, being physical, making guys, you know, not sagging off of guys. Like it was one of the lone bright spots in this Rockets Warriors game. But here's my takeaway here, right? After discussing the success of KPJ and Bruno in the second segment, I just would wonder, because Jalen Green and Alperen Şengün very clearly have chemistry with one another. They can play well off of each other. Jalen can play well off of Alp. Alp can play well off of Jalen. They've got good chemistry in the pick and roll. Jalen's got good chemistry with Alp and dribble handoff sets. Those two look great together. KPJ looks terrible with Alp. And I don't know if that's exclusively on KPJ. I don't know if it's on if it's some combination of them two, but their chemistry is just, it's non-existent. Those two guys, they very rarely, if ever, connect on passes. KPJ had that one really ugly turnover to Alp where he like bounced it through Alp's legs because Alp was coming up to set a screen and KPJ was trying to pass him the ball. It's, those two guys look like they're never on the same page. And very rarely will you see KPJ dime up Alperen Şengün. And then KPJ and Bruno have this insane chemistry where they look fantastic together. So how do you get the best of both worlds? And option one would be put KPJ on the bench, right? Like that's option one. Put KPJ on the bench and then like let him come off the bench with Bruno, right? And that's your bench unit, right? That's your six-man KPJ. That's Bruno Fernando off the bench. And they're this tandem dynamic duo and they look really, really good together, right? That's not going to happen. KPJ's not going to get benched. So how could you still get the best of both worlds or the most out of that, like those two separate duos? And I think the easy answer is go back to staggering Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr., but stagger them even harder, right? Like stagger it to the point where you have Jalen out there, like bring KPJ out like the 6 minute mark, right? Let Jalen play the entire first quarter straight and let him play most of that first quarter with Alperen Şengün. Then you bring Usman Garuba, you know, into the game and let Us get some run with the goon squad, right? Where maybe Us gets like, you know, 4 or 5 minutes where Alp gets a breather at the end of the quarter. And then at some point you bring Kevin Porter Jr. back and you bring Bruno Fernando in. And then you basically just tether Bruno Fernando's minutes to Kevin Porter Jr. to where when KPJ is on the floor, you give him Bruno for an extended stretch, like anywhere from, you know, 6 to 8 minutes a half where it's just the Bruno and KPJ show, right? Where KPJ can get to his offensive game, can get going downhill, can have Bruno as the outlet pass, and you just put shooters around those guys to where if the defense then starts trying to contain that pick and roll threat, KPJ can dish it out to the shooters. That seems like it could be really, really beneficial for this Houston Rockets team and actually a decent way to stagger all three centers in Şengün, Garuba, and Fernando to where you can get the best out of all three of those guys to where there's minutes where, you know, Garuba's out there just kind of anchoring things defensively a little bit while KPJ is still getting his breather. And then, I don't know, there's different ways that the Rockets could best utilize the strength of these guys because very clearly there is chemistry and a positive relationship, positive strengths between Jalen and Alp. And then there's strengths between Kevin Porter Jr. and Bruno Fernando. So how do you unlock that, right? You've got to find minutes for those guys, and you've got to find minutes to where you can get those guys playing in those sets of duos to where they can be the most successful, right? Like we saw at the top of the fourth quarter against the Suns, Jalen sat down, Alp was sitting, and so KPJ and Bruno got to run the show, and it looked great. Right? So why not replicate that success and why not find a way to stagger the lineups moving forward to where you can have those pockets where it's Jalen and Şengün running things and then those guys sit and then it's KPJ and Bruno running things, right? Where things look really good. And I'm not advocating for KPJ to get benched. I'm also not going to advocate for Alp to get benched because he's very clearly the best center on the roster. But there's ways that you can stagger these lineups and divvy up these minutes to where you get the best of both worlds. And that's what I would love to see from this Rockets coaching staff moving forward. So That's my big suggestion here after what we learned over this weekend and kind of what we've seen from the season at large is there's chemistry between certain pairings on this Rockets roster. How do you further unlock that chemistry and how do you give those groupings of players time to shine? And they were doing it for a while there. The Rockets were staggering Jalen and KPJ, and even Jalen benefits from not having Kevin Porter Jr. on the floor, right? There's a reason that Jalen looked so good in that third quarter against the Suns where he just was in this aggressive mentality and it was like an unlocked version of Jalen Green, because when Jalen's out there without KPJ, he plays more aggressively. He won't ever admit to it, right? Because he's like, that's my twin. We do everything together. We play off each other, all that. But watching Jalen play on the floor without Kevin Porter Jr., it's a different player. And I'd like to see more of it. The Rockets went back to not staggering Jalen and KPJ over these last handful of games. And I think that was just a terrible mistake. And they need to go back to staggering those two guys. And more specifically, they need to find a way to stagger the minutes with Jalen and Şengün away from the minutes with KPJ and Bruno, so that KPJ can have Bruno, who he plays really, really well with and looks really comfortable with, and so that Jalen can continue to play off of Alper and Şengün as well. That's going to do it for today's episode. As always, appreciate you for checking out the show. If you haven't done so yet, please consider subscribing wherever you listen to your podcast. That's Apple, Spotify, Google, the Odyssey app, free and available on all podcast platforms. We're also available on YouTube. Just go to YouTube, search Locked on Rockets. Be sure to like, comment, and subscribe. What do you think about the idea of staggering Jalen and Şengün and then KPJ and Bruno and finding ways to get those guys their minutes apart from one another? Let me know about that idea. Let me know your thoughts on it in the YouTube comments. I read each and every one of those every single day. But as always, thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. We look forward to having you back right here at Locked on Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.